brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is a great solemnity. It is the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. My heart aches for something that I heard the other day. The number of people coming into our Catholic churches who are receiving communion and then just immediately engaging in conversation with one another as though they had just taken a small snack and they were engaging in conversation with one another. And I realized, as I heard this, not just in one parish, but in a number of parishes, I began to realize how weak our faith is. I've known that our faith is very weak, but this kind of bolded it and underlined it so much that we really do not know what we have been given. Because it takes eyes and ears and hearts of faith to believe that Jesus, the beloved Son of the Father, not only died for you and me, that we might have the chance of eternal life, that that door might be opened to us. Not only that, but that he chose to give us his own body and his own blood. This is what we receive in communion at Mass, is not a symbol. It is the reality. It is his body and blood. And he gives it to us as often as we come before him. There's no symbol here. This is reality, but it takes faith to believe. And those who believe find their lives totally changed. Pray today for greater faith. Pray it for your fellow parishioners. Pray it for parishes all across the world. Pray that we may understand more and more deeply what we have received. The first reading in this Sunday's liturgy is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 to 3 and 14 to 16. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock and fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." We're reading what happened in the Old Testament as signs of the Eucharist that was to come when Jesus Christ was born on this earth, flesh and blood like us for our salvation. We're reading here of the miracles that happened in the Old Testament, but they too were signs and symbols. They were not the reality. But we live in the time of the reality that his body and blood is available to us. My goodness, I was talking to a man who had been under communism for many years and a great deal of persecution, imprisonment, etc. I was in that particular country some years after the persecution, some years after the communist, I don't know what to call it, grip on nation after nation, when that was finally broken. And these people were free again. This man said to me, "Sister, if I could have received the Eucharist even once, I would have crawled across this continent to do that." when we're deprived, sometimes we come awake. And I looked at him and realized what a man of faith he had become in the midst of the persecution. You and I have not experienced that kind of persecution, not yet, anyway. How deeply do you value the privilege given to you to receive his most holy body and blood? How do you value that? Oh, I don't want to go to that mass. That's too long. I don't want to go to that mass. That's when those people sing. I don't want to do this. We want everything according to our taste. When someone, Jesus, gave his own body and blood for you and for me. Run to the nearest church. Run. Run. Receive. Repent. Receive. Repent. Keep repenting because we keep failing. It's all right. Repent. Receive. And gradually, in the great mercy of God, he allows his flesh and blood in us to begin to bear fruit in our priorities, our goals, the challenges we face, the crosses we bear. He begins to reveal himself. Feed on him. Psalm 147, glorify the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat, he fills you. He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word. He has not done thus for any other nation. God has given us his statutes. He's given us his commands. But even more, he's given us himself. And the statutes and the commands are intended to lead us into union with him. This is not symbolic. Ask God for greater faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, Jesus Christ, bread of life for you and me. Do you take this gift for granted? Repent. Turn back. Thank him. Let your life be filled with gratitude for what he gives you. The sequence, one of the ancient prayers of the church, is something that I would encourage you to take a missalette and to read it out loud. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn of praise to God. Special theme for glad thanksgiving is the quickening and the living bread today before you set. From his hands of old partaken, as we know by faith unshaken, where the 12 at supper met. Full and clear, ring out your chanting, joy not, sweetest grace be wanting. From your heart, let praises burst. For today the feast is holden when the institution olden of that supper was rehearsed. Here the new law's new oblation, by the new king's revelation, ends the form of ancient rite. The form, the old form of gifts being offered to God. What God now gives us to offer is his own son. It is a living reality. Should we not partake of that and be drawn closer to him? What he did at supper, seated, Christ ordained to be repeated, his memorial ne'er to cease. Ne'er to cease. The only thing that causes it to cease is our lack of faith. Not that it ceases, but its grace and the effect and the blessings can cease for us if we do not believe. And it's not a matter of imagination and getting your mind worked up to believe. It's deciding to accept Jesus' words, deciding to accept the incredible, ineffable, unspeakable gift of his body and his blood. In the Gospel of John 6, Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." Listen to those words. Read this gospel out loud yourself. John 6, verses 51 to 58. "Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." That's for you. "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." Ask God for an increase of faith. Ask him to help you to believe. I was reading briefly, and I just want to conclude with this, a meditation by Jennifer Hubbard. She's a woman who lost a little child, Catherine Violet, and the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in 2012. This is something she wrote. Let's reflect on this. "We decided Ave Maria would be sung that day. It would join the list of hymns that now transport me to the December morning when frozen earth was broken open to bury my little one. My brave one," that's her son who was a couple of years older, "my brave one stood in the doorway, intrigued by the plans being made. We asked, was there anything he'd want included in her funeral? Without hesitation, it was number 310, Table of Plenty, the Eucharist. My heart cracked wide open. He had requested a hymn we sang at his first Holy Communion the spring before. Jubilant voices had filled that church and serenaded the small hands, offering simple gifts of bread and wine for the life-giving sustenance of which we would all feed. We rejoiced in the goodness and innocence of the grace freely given and openly received. Our Heavenly Father, in his mercy and love, invites me over and over to be reminded, restored, and renewed to accept his gift freely given. We granted my brave one's request. On that cold December morning, weary voices rose up out of seemingly empty vessels. Tired little hands brought forth bread to be broken and a cup to be shared. The table was made ready. In the quiet solemnity of that day, we accepted the invitation, approached the table, and participated in the feast of heaven and earth. On that day, we were filled." May God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.